Would you pray with me? Take my words, speak through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It was a real privilege to come into church this morning and see so many familiar faces. It felt warm. It felt just like the cover here. You've woken up from your slumber. Only, I have a different picture of that slumber. As a teacher, you really look forward to having summers and just a chance to restore yourself. About 3 weeks ago, I was seated on the cover, different setting though, it was the wilds of Idaho, a nice comfortable chair, drink on the side, everything else. Carol and Britt and I were just enjoying camping in Idaho. Life was easy. It was slow, relaxing. It was quiet. No phones were ringing. The responsibilities of work were not around. No one made demands on my time, except for maybe a few individuals who I won't mention. I could stay in bed a little longer because I didn't want to get up just yet. Read my book as long as I wanted. Go to the beach. Swim. Make lunch or supper when I was hungry. Sit around the campfire at night, talking with friends and family. That was a wonderful way to restore my soul. But going back to work a couple weeks ago and with the kids this week, you heard them. Are you excited to be there? No. Well, I got out of bed, was jolted out of bed, propelled into the demands of daily life, and it's our world's wake-up call too. I've chosen Romans to look at today because I didn't want to deal with the fighting and how to deal with your neighbors, because we might not all be here at the end. So it's very hard for us to sometimes deal with the problems we have with each other. But in Romans, it does look at that. So keep that in mind. Today's reading from Romans, I just want to get your mindset there. Paul was writing to the Roman people. He was writing to let him know he was coming. Most of the Roman Christians were of Jewish traditions. So they had all these words, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't covet, and all those. And they were used to the law written in that way. When I hear those words, I automatically want to break them. You know, don't do this. Because in my classroom, if I have a rule that says, don't chew gum, what do they do the next day? Chew gum. Or don't run in the hallways. So I always have something affirming, which I think is Paul's message too. Affirming is be ready, be responsible, be respectful. And Paul's is love your neighbor as yourself. But today, we're going to discover Paul's key teaching of to love your neighbor as yourself. There are four sort of ideas I want to look at. The debt of love, fulfilling that love, and waking up from your slumber, and finally, to put on the clothing of Christ. It's a call to action. Really, it is a call to action. It's one you've fulfilled many times. It opens with, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love, to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The word owe or debt is the word used in both the New Revised Standard and New International Version. Now, I can imagine early Christians would have think debt is the same as we think. You owe somebody something. You have to pay back your bills, your mortgage, your credit cards. But really, debt is a commitment of time because you have to work so long for the money to pay the bills back. And every month, you continue to work until the debt is paid off. When it's finally paid off, you get a nice note. You're done. Good. Paul says our continuing debt is to love one another. Continuing means it never ends. It does not go away. I know all of us look forward to the end of the month when those bills appear in the mailbox or the email or you go to the bank. The precise amount we owe plus the interest is clear in the numbers presented there. We work to pay off the debt, knowing it is the right thing to do for the goods and services we have received. What's interesting, if you miss a payment, you get a reminder, especially if you miss two or three. And there's a note or a phone call, plus there's a little red line. Here's how much interest you're charged. As Christians, your principal for our debt is not held by a bank or boring institution. The debt of love Christ gave us on the cross. Paul's focus is to let no debt remaining except to love one another. To me, that's a call of action every day, to love one another, to love those people that are even your enemies. What does it mean to love one another? It's to speak kindly, avoiding someone's, hurting someone's feelings, to take an interest in someone. As we read last week, and Terry read so well from Romans 12:9, when he read it, it felt like it was right to my heart. He said, love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This requires concentration and effort in a way of living. It ultimately means to help others become better people. Christ's only repayment plan is to love one another. There's no schedule of payments. There's no reminders. It's up to you and I to carry out this debt. Our debt agreement was made with Christ at our baptisms. And each week, when we confess our sins, we say, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. So we have that debt of love. The second thing is, I want to twist it around. Instead of loving your neighbor as yourself, how do you love yourself? Most of us get love modeled to us by our parents from birth. We are accepted for just being you. When you make a mistake, you're corrected and encouraged. When someone hurts you, your mom or your dad would bandage your wounds, kiss it better, and say, fine, get out of here, just don't cry anymore. But the inside hurts, the ones that came from others or the perceptions you had, when someone said something that cut to the core of your inner being, you had to go talk to someone. Your parents listened, and they offered suggestions encouraging to make a choice of what to do to heal those hurts that made you feel unloved. Parents gave you moral support, just enough to move on with that problem. Growing up, I knew I was loved. And when I made a mistake, they always forgave me. Sometimes I didn't want to face my parents knowing their disappointments when I made a mistake. For example, one time I was caught stealing at a local store. Don't laugh, maybe you've done it too. I was only about 10 and I didn't have enough money and I thought, geez, I'd sure like a little candy. So I went in the store and I sort of put it in my pocket, and as I was going out, the store owner said, come here. And they went over and said, I know what you have in your pocket. So he phoned my parents and he said, talk to them, says, I said, your son just stole something from our store. So that was when I felt real disappointment. I had to go home and face my parents. But I didn't quite go home. I decided I didn't want to face my reward. I went over and hid in my neighbor's yard under the boat. And I thought, they'll never find me here, and I can stay here forever. I can get a few snacks. There's a dog over here, and I can get a few snacks as well. But about 2 hours laying on the concrete, I got a little cold. I was hungry, feeling sorry for myself. So I said, I better go home. As soon as I opened the door, Mom and Dad were sitting there watching. They didn't say a word. And then finally I went up and says, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Sorry I'm late. And as I got up to the table, they said, you're grounded for the next week. I said, is that all? That's easy. But then they said, tomorrow we're going to go to the store owner and you're going to pay him back what you owe him. I thought, oh no, I don't want to do that. So the next day we went to the owner and we paid him back the money, and I had to look him in the eyes and I had to say, I took the money, paid it back. It's a lesson I'll always remember, because when we make a mistake, we have to own up to it. It's not always comfortable and it's a growing experience, but it's one we always remember. I knew I was forgiven, and that made me feel loved again. To love ourselves means we have to accept ourselves, to learn to forgive ourselves when we're in the wrong or haven't done what we're supposed to do. We have to love and care for our state of welfare, take care of ourselves to ensure you have every basic need. You need to have food, shelter, clothing. We'll come back to clothing later. You need to accept your strengths and your weaknesses. They are who you are. God knows them. All of this is intertwined with the first and great commandment from Luke 10, verse 27, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And without that love, I don't think I could love myself, knowing that the Creator knew me before times. These are the parts necessary to love ourselves. I often think of the next part is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He said, love cannot be arrogant. I think we need to remember that. We don't need to be arrogant about our love that we have for ourselves, for this is a basic necessity in the life Christ has called for us. This love is a mixture of so many things, ingredients that we need to understand all the different aspects of love. We sort of do it into one word, love, and then someone says, what does love mean? If you watch TV, you see that love, it's a different idea than you and I think as a Christian. First of all, there's the word eros, which is that romantic, passionate love which we see through our media. There's philos, or philia, is a love for your friends. Storge, the love parents feel for their children. And then there's agape, that selfless love that gives and expects nothing in return. That's the one Jesus showed us. A mix of these is what we need to love ourselves and then do the same to others. So even though I haven't said love your neighbor as yourself, once you've loved yourself, you can move that love onto your neighbors. I was thinking of the abstractness of loving. It's such an abstract concept. It's hard to explain, so I've tried to put into a strange analogy. To love yourself is like a bowl of cereal. That's right, a bowl of cereal. You need several ingredients. All of it together makes up the layers we need to love ourselves. First of all, the cereal bowl is the vessel. Think of it, I often think of it as our body, where we have our heart, our mind, and our spirit, in which you direct your feelings, your thoughts, and the direction of your life. The cereal, the next part in there, is the basic ingredient, love, filled with nutrients you need to survive. This is a love that comes from God. You're a special, and you're a child of God. Now, Andrew made a comment last night at the service, said, well, you're going to have your cereal now, the bread. So think of your bread as the cereal. This is made from grain, so I'll go with that one. Then there are the extras, make the cereal even special. The milk poured on top that smooths the rough edges of our love so it's palatable and easy for others to swallow us, because sometimes our quirkiness, it's hard to love us. So we need to remember those. And finally, the sugar. Can't do cereal without sugar. Brown or white, it doesn't matter. The ingredients that keeps, that goes on top, it's the love that comes from the support of your family and your friends that affirm you as lovable. Now, the extra part that makes it extra special is the fruit, the yogurt, the raspberries, the strawberries, everything that goes on top. That's the stuff that enriches our love so that we become and reach out beyond who we really are. In order for this love to move beyond ourselves, we need to take that spoon with the action, dip in, feed ourselves, and feed others. So remember, the Lord calls us to love your neighbor as yourself. As we begin a new church year of activity and programs, that refocuses our lives after summer vacations. Back to school for some, not too happily, I noticed. I might not be one of those. Back to work for others. We need to wake up from our slumber in our daily lives. We need to say, let's put that debt of love in action. In our modern language, it means the new day is dawning. How are we going to make it a better day? Paul is reminding the people of a former time. The nighttime was a time of sin or darkness. It was a time filled with slavery and sin. And he said the new day is like focusing on our future of righteousness. It is time to prepare ourselves to fulfill our debt of love, to put our faith in action. Our salvation is nearer than we first believe. Every day we're closer. So we need to step up a little more. We have had the opportunity to be like Christ. Now is the time to power up and live as his disciples. Paul's message could be summed up: wake up and be Christ's people, a people of love. Love each other. It means including the wider world. Love your enemies. For when salvation comes, we will stand before the throne of God and answer the probable question from Jesus: how have you responded to the love I showed you on the cross? Jesus won't be looking for a theoretical answer. He'll want to know how you have used his love to impact the world around you. The final message from Paul's reading is to behave decently, with no dissension or jealousy. I might need a few lessons on decently some days, because some days in my class I get a little carried away, and then I wonder why they get carried away. If it's only because they follow your example. Clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. I think Paul uses another expression: put on the armor of God. To be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ, our actions will be: read from the Scriptures, pray, listen to the Spirit's leading, and worship with fellow believers who are here today. With this wardrobe, seek reconciliation. When you've wronged someone, do not give in to dissension or jealousy. Behave decently with those all around you. I want you to think of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. It said, when you have a problem with your neighbor, take a friend with you. I always think the first time is you take yourself, go there first. Because that's what I try and do in class. We do all these things not to gain recognition and boast about ourselves, or to gain entry through merit into heaven, but so that Jesus can turn to the Heavenly Father and say, this one understands what it is to believe and trust in me. Thanks be to God.